Matthew 26 again. I want to bring you to the words of Judas, chapter 26, verse 25. I'm going to call these the most searching words in all eternity. The most searching words in all eternity. Is it I? It is right that when we come to the communion table that we do search our hearts. Spiritual examination is something that we're exhorted to do, to make sure that we are in the faith, and to make sure that we are obedient to the Lord. This question, of course, was in relation to our Lord's exposure of Judas. Our Lord had said that one of you shall betray me. We do marvel at the responses of the disciples. Each of them asked this question, is it I? Human nature more often would be start pointing the finger. Who would it be? Which one of us here would it be? But this was the right question. Is it I? The right question. Except, of course, for Judas. Because he knew the answer. And this question that he was asking was really to follow suit with the other disciples and to have a cover-up, a ruse for his own betrayal of the Lord Jesus. Before this, when Mary was anointing our Lord with ointment, it was Judas who made the most noise in criticizing it. And here now, in the throes of betrayal, we find he is covering up, asking, not out of sincerity, but just that he doesn't blow his cover, and he's saying, is it I? To betray the Lord Jesus, he had gone directly to the priests. These religious leaders had already been trying to find some way that they might secretly arrest the Lord. But they didn't know how to go about it. They had no game plan. They had no strategy. Until Judas came knocking at the door. And when Judas arrived, he asked them the question, what will you give me? And I will deliver him into your hands. His motive was money. What will you give me? Earlier, his criticism had been the waste of money in the ointment that had been poured out upon the Lord. And here again, this greedy man, filled with the lust of money, not the want of money, might I ask, point out, because he had dined with the others. He had the bag. He is the one who carried the provisions of all the disciples. He had no want of money. But the love of money drew him to the enemies of our Lord. And he asked, what will you give me? You'll notice that when they offered a price, there was no bartering. He took it right away. In case, of course, they would change their minds. So for any price he could get, he denied the Lord. I want you to notice the shock waves that went through these disciples when the Lord at this upper room on that night when he instituted this first Lord's table, when he changed the Passover feast to the New Testament communion feast, and the Lord exposed the traitor. And the Lord announced, one of you shall betray me. They were shocked. It tells us in verse 22 that they were exceeding sorrowful. There is no stronger word in the Greek. There is no adverb that could enhance to describe the shock that entered into their hearts. It was a bombshell to these faithful good men. And they were torn at heart. Not even Judas was suspected by this time. Such was his ability to play the part of a disciple, to ape, to speak, to walk, all that was expected of him. If he had been a notorious failure, all the heads would have turned in his direction and they would have known immediately it was him. But it would appear that no one suspected Judas. And so on this night of the Lord's table being instituted, Judas was exposed. His word was to betray the Lord. He was present all the way through this holy meal, but in his heart he was despising it all. And I want us to look today at the marks of one who is in the midst, but really despising the grace, the goodness, and the love of the Lord Jesus. Matthew Henry comments on this, that if amongst this small group of disciples there was one traitor, we ought never to be surprised that amongst any group of professing Christians there will be one false, a chaff instead of true wheat. And so we need to diagnose our hearts today to be sure that we are wheat, to be sure that we are not as Judas, despising the Lord Jesus. And as we go through these few marks, I want you to search your heart. Now, I know the preacher is to help you in this, but you've got to help me to help you to do this, because this is very sensitive. It's very close to the quick of your heart. I don't want to be a sledgehammer preacher here today. I want to preach with something of the love of the Lord Jesus for your soul. It is certainly my desire that all amongst us would be true disciples, and that none would despise the Lord as Judas did. So as we look at these, I want you to ask yourself, is it I? Judas despised the Lord's stupendous person. Of all people to deny, Judas got this one so wrong. Oh, if he had denied Peter or Matthew or any of the others, I'm sure he could have come up with a rationale. He could have come up with some dossier of arguments and said, for all these reasons, I'm not going to be a part of following with Matthew anymore or any other of the disciples. But the Lord, the one in whom there was no sin, the one who had come from heaven. And this Judas despised the value of his person, because he went to these scribes and he said to them, what will you give me? And the first offer was 30 pieces of silver. And he said, I'll take it. And it was only the price of a slave. Way back in Exodus, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, that was the price of a slave. With that money, they were later able to go and to purchase the potter's field. It was just for a vagabond's graveyard. It wasn't much. And Judas didn't even try to up the price. He took the 30 pieces of silver. Imagine that the one who created the world, the one who created the gold and the silver, the one who made the universe in its vastness, here he is in human form. And Judas is selling him for the price of a slave. What value did he put on the Lord? So very little. Many today are doing the same thing. They despise the person of the Lord Jesus. They don't argue against the doctrines or the attributes that he is divine. But in daily practice, they trade off living for Jesus for living for the penury of this world, the little gains of silver, man's wealth, temporary wealth, the things that will burn up by fire one day, the things that do not bring real peace. And they sell their souls, they sell the Lord for so very little. It's because you despise, or they despise, the real value of the Son of God. And then he despised the virtue of his person. What power went out of the body of the Lord Jesus? Judas had been with the Lord for 3 years. He had witnessed the miraculous power and the virtue that went out of Christ. And that word virtue was used when the woman was healed having the issue of blood, and she touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus said, who touched me? And this poor woman came confessing and saying, I did. And he said, I know, for virtue went out of me. Power, mighty power, went out of the person of the Son of God and healed such a woman, the one with the withered hand, the blind, the leper. And all to demonstrate that he was truly come to be the healer of sinners, the savior of sinners. Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Let me reason with you that you need the power of the Lord Jesus to change you. You can't change yourself. That's a fact. You know it and I know it. You can't change yourself. You're a dead weight. You're a dead sinner. You're hopeless. You've tried it many times. You've gone to many healers and physicians and none have helped. And you come today, you're still in your sins. And there's virtue in Jesus to save you. Don't sell him. Don't despise him, as Judas did. Judas also despised the vicarious life of his person. Those in our adult Sunday school this morning will understand this. Vicarious means that he lived in the place of us. He died in the place of us. Judas saw the life of Christ. He must have been impressed by the purity of it. He must have been impressed by the power, the demonstration of holiness in the life of Jesus. Jesus was living that life for his people. Every day he lived was earning and weaving a righteousness, a robe that sinners could wear. He wasn't spending 33 years on earth for himself. He was doing it every day for us as the worker, the servant, the savior of bankrupt sinners. And he would give that robe of his life's work and righteousness to you as to Judas. Don't despise it. Don't say, I don't need another's life. I'm going to trust in my own life. I'm going to dig my own way out of this. I'm going to find some strength or power that I can please God. No, you need one to come and stand in your place. Take your place. Pay your price. The work of another. And as Isaiah said in chapter 53, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. That's vicarious sufferings in our place. Don't despise that. That's the work of another for you. If you're despising the Lord Jesus and rejecting him, you're saying, I'll live my own life. I'll live and die my own way. I don't need another to come and help me. Oh, Judas, beware. You're playing the fool, despising the person of the Lord Jesus. Judas also despised the Lord's supernatural body. Full well did he know the outcome of his treachery. Full well did he know what those scribes would do. That they were eager for his destruction. And when they got their hands on him, it would be to rend that body to nothing. And yet, he went through with it. That body that when they came to arrest him, all those guards fell back. The mighty force that went out of him. But Judas thought nothing. Even then, the unique sinlessness of Jesus' body, the body that was miraculously conceived in Mary's womb, not having an earthly father, the body that knew no sin, no wicked thought, that in him there was no evil, and how sensitive our Lord was to earthly hurts, how sensitive to the betrayals and the denials of many, because he was so pure. I wonder, does it matter to you that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, the sinless Son of God? Do you despise his holy nature and hand him over to the wicked as if you do not care? That's a great test of your heart today. It's a great test whether you love him or despise him. Could there be a Judas in our midst that says, well, I want to partake in all this, but I could hand Jesus over. I could sell him. I have no real regard for his sinless nature. Then also his untold sufferings. Judas was to be the linchpin in the sufferings of Christ. He was the first connection between the enemies in their Sanhedrin conference room, planning and scheming the death of Jesus. And here is Judas coming to connect, to be the link that would bring him to them. Did Judas not think of the sufferings that our Lord would endure? Did it not really go through his mind, the torment that he would face? In Gethsemane, if you were to try and summarize the sufferings of our Lord, in Gethsemane our Lord went through mental suffering. When he prayed and sweated with drops of blood. In Caiaphas' home, he went through, again, torment from his enemies. And in the judgment hall of Pilate, and on the cross, he went through physical sufferings. Plowing of his back with whips. Did Judas not think of that? The crushing of his head with thorns. Did he not understand the depth of the venom, the mockery that was in the hearts of these high priests and scribes, that they would crown him a mock king? And amongst the Romans, they would dress him with a mock purple robe. Then they led him out bearing the weight of the cross and the cruel hours of hanging on a Roman gibbet. Had Judas never witnessed a crucifixion before? None of us here have witnessed a crucifixion, I don't think. But in the disciples' days, it was an all too common sight. The Romans were notorious, and they were willing to put any criminal to death by the cross. I'm sure Judas must have calculated the hours, and sometimes the days of agony, a crucified soul would endure. But he still despised. You know what this all adds up to? That no matter what our privileges are, born into a Christian home, Christian church, open Bible, the ministry of the Lord Jesus, that unless there is the miracle of the new birth, our privileges will not prevent us from denying or despising the Lord Jesus. We need new hearts. There's someone here today and you have had all the privileges, but you do not love our Lord Jesus. You do not love him with all your heart. There would be no tears in your eyes if you were called upon to deny him. There would be no heart-breaking, heart-wrenching, no agony of soul or mind, because in reality you have a heart as Judas. Yet, without a miracle of grace, there are Judases all around. Is it I? You have to ask that question. Is it I? I can't start pointing the finger. You have to ask, is it I? Would I sell him? Would I despise him? Or would I say no? I don't want to be a part of nailing my Savior to the tree. I don't want to commit any sin that would add to the horror of the crucifixion. I will rather follow him and serve him. Judas despised the Lord's saving blood. What must have gone through his mind as he sat around the table with the other disciples? And our Lord took the wine, the red wine, and poured it and presented it to the disciples, and he instituted this great ordinance. This is my blood in the New Testament. In other words, this is a symbol of my death on the tree and my sufferings and shedding of blood. I think we can say that the other disciples received that with a measure of faith and understanding. I don't think they had full faith and full understanding as later they received, but they must have grasped something. And they must have taken that cup with desire and say, Lord, as you have desired this, we desire it too. But Judas, he looked into that cup, and all he could see was his murderous plan. All he could think of were the 30 pieces of silver that he had already received. And all that he could scheme was, what is the next phase? How shall we plan the arrest? Ah, Judas, despising the blood of Jesus. He despised the inherent innocency of Jesus' blood. You go to Matthew 27, verse 4. You'll read there that he went back later to these scribes and he took the money, brought it to them, verse 4 said to those chief priests and elders, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Now here is where Judas by default becomes the greatest witness of all the disciples. He is one who is with our Lord for 3 years. He knows His life, He knows His manner, He knows every move of Him. And in his heart there is an enmity and a desire to sell Him out. But in truth he has to go back to these scribes and says, this is the money of innocent blood. There's no sin in him. And Judas becomes a very powerful testimony to the witness and the life of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps you agree with that today. Yes, I believe that the blood of Jesus is pure. But like Judas, you're still despising it. That's the tragedy here, you know. That's the tragedy here. He still despised it. And he despised it to the end. It says he repented himself. There was some degree of regret. But he never knew the real value of that blood in his life. He never knew the infinite cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Because he died, he looked for the hangman's noose as a way out of his guilty conscience, rather than the mercy and the pardon that is in the blood. And you could have all this knowledge and agree with all the doctrines and statements of the atoning blood of Jesus, but never know its cleansing in your life. Because you're not resting in that blood. You've never pleaded the cleansing power of it. You have considered it, but you have still rejected it. And the grounds of your peace and your hope of heaven is anything else and not the blood of Jesus. That means you have a Judas heart. That means you have a wicked heart that would betray the Lord in any given situation. Oh, how scary this is. How blood-curdling this is. And as we read here in Matthew 27:4, that he went back to those and he reasoned, and they said, we can't change now. The execution trap is laid. We're not going back. See you to it. The conscience of Judas gnawed at him. And as I say, he rather sought the hangman's noose than the way of mercy and the way of pardon. The blood of Jesus is also speaking blood. It bears witness. It bears witness in heaven. Speaks continually. Cries against every accusation against the believer. What about your heart today? Do you have peace? Or are you feeling guilty? Does the memory of your sins and the knowledge of your sins and the provocation of your sins bring fear and trembling to your soul? Then you have not accounted the witness of the blood of Jesus. The blood speaks peace to the guilty soul. Judas despised that. He turned away from it. He plunged into eternity without it. He's the man who later in the Garden of Gethsemane went to the Lord and led those guards and kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. I fear lest there be one here today and you will take that cup and with your lips do what Judas did. Betray the Lord with your lips. The receiving of the symbol of his blood and yet in heart despite. Does the blood witness to your heart today? Does it speak peace, pardon, cleansing, mercy and grace? Have you gone to that fountain filled with blood and say, Lord, wash me now? Judas went on to despise the Lord's protection. In John's account of this story, he says that Judas sat through the communion feast. The Lord said to him, what thou doest, do quickly. And he went out, and this is John's record, and it was night. Judas despised the Lord's protection. He left and went out into the darkness. He despised the Lord's protection of his presence. If he'd been a man of faith, a man that really cared for his own soul, he would have said, Lord, will you come with me? That's always the attitude of the Christian, Lord, come with me. If you're living in this world and if your deeds and your actions in this world mean that you cannot ask the Lord to come with you, then you're against the Lord. Judas despised the Lord's protection against Satan. It tells us that Satan entered into it. Judas welcomed that, seemingly. Always a tragedy to invite the devil to lead you. But when you reject the Lord Jesus, it's going to happen. You're led captive by the devil at his will. Judas despised the Lord's protection against his own passion to sin. Judas knew of his treachery and his betrayal. If he had been a man of faith, he would have said, Lord, I'm afraid that when I go out there, that my own thoughts, my own ideas are going to grow into something evil. Lord, protect me. He despised that. Jesus said to him, what thou doest, do quickly. And he went out, and it was night. Spiritual darkness shrouded him from then on. He also despised the Lord's protection of one day presenting believers to the Father. Jesus says to his sheep, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. None shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. And that he's going to present his people one day to the Father, spotless, pure. That's what every true Christian desires, with all their heart. That's the end of all that we're about as a Christian. I want to be presented to the Father in the spotless robes of Jesus. Judas despised that. Resorted to the hangman's noose. Went out and hanged himself. Do you despise in any way what the Lord promises to do for you? To save your soul. To keep you by his power. And present you one day to the Father. I trust not. I trust. I turn this positively now and I say, Lord, forbid. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Lord, rather than despise you, Lord, I want to represent you. I want to enter in and enjoy all these things. And as we come to this communion table today and the Lord gives us the cup, we say, Lord, I take it by faith. I rejoice in this as the emblem and my hope of heaven. I take that bread, and I say, Lord, this tells me of your body that was bruised and suffered for me. Ah, Lord, I rejoice in this as my hope of heaven, and with humble faith I partake. That's what it is to eat and drink worthily as a believer. Not that we are sinless or perfect, but that all our hope, all our confidence is in Christ. And we say, God forbid that we should despise him. Do we love him enough? No. We'll never love him enough this side of heaven. But God forbid that we should despise him. Rather, let us fully rest in him and all his grace.